I'm Jeff. I'm one of the pastors, and we're in this series called Living the Transformed Life, and we're in Romans 12, and it is so rich. I was reflecting this week. I was down at a conference in San Francisco for a couple of days this week, and it was amazing, and I had this experience where I realized this is my wife's, again, I realized this is my wife's superpower. I'll share more about the conference in just a second, but this is what I learned about my wife again. We were at the San Francisco Hilton, which has like all these towers and wings and conference rooms and all that kind of stuff. I don't know, first time I've ever been there. And we were leaving to try to go to the garage to find our car after like 13 hours that was the first day. So it was just that first evening. And we've been there like 5 hours, we're exhausted. We go to the car, and Bill is my friend Bill from Seattle, who used to be at our church, Bill and Char Larson. They're here, wave you guys. Welcome back, you guys. Some of you old people know them because they're old, and they were here a long time ago. So we were going to go find our car, and so it's me and Linda and Bill and Char, and we're going to find our car. And my wife is like watching me and Bill sort of go, okay, well, we got to go over to Tower 2, and then we get into this elevator, and it's a special elevator, and we got to arrange with somebody who's in the elevator who's staying at the Hilton because it only goes to that floor with the card, and we had all kinds of craziness going on. And my wife's standing there looking at us, and she just says real quietly, she goes, no, we're in Tower 1, and we just got to go to, or we're in Tower 3, whatever. She's like, she knew exactly where to go with this zen, like, just like, knowledge of direction and she has the superpower of knowing directions and knowing space like that is unreal. And I'm always with my confidence going, oh, no, this is what we do. We go to floor 3 and then we got to go this direction and we got to go to that tower. And she literally with a smirk on her face followed Bill and I to the wrong place, and at the end, and we were standing, Bill and I were like, oh, this isn't right. Maybe we were already in Tower 3 or whatever, where we were supposed to be, and she's standing there smiling like, uh-huh, that's what I told you guys. And I realized again, we have such a bizarre relationship with our strengths and weaknesses, with what our giftings are and what other people's giftings are, because I have some weird middle-aged masculine idea that I should know how to get from A to B, like my sense of direction is really good. Church, I'm here to confess to you, I have a terrible sense of direction. And my wife crushes at it. It is her superpower. And she very quietly, I just said, see, you always know where we're going. You know, and she's like, yeah, that's what, I can do that. On a more serious note, the conference actually did also kind of a weird number on me. Like I went to this is a Christian conference. It was a 24/7 prayer organization that has prayer movements in 100 countries worldwide. And these incredible humans running this thing that they got to come speak and to lead us in prayer and to lead us in worship. And I sat there as a professional ministry person watching the best of the best do their thing. Do you know what I'm talking about? Does anybody resonate with that, whether even if you're not in ministry professionally? The best of the best. Now, what do you do with those moments, right? We have a really bizarre relationship with those moments because what we tend to do is we tend to go, oh, I'm not that good, and forget what God has given us. So this idea of remember last week? From the Romans text, this idea of getting a sober-minded way of thinking about how God has made us is paramount in living out his plan and his purposes. Understanding who God gave us or made us to be and the gifts that God gave us to be. Now we're going to be we're now in Romans 12 again, still, and so I'd love to have you turn with me to it. We're moving on with a few verses past where we've been camped for 4 or 5 weeks. I want to read the text with you again from the beginning, Romans 1, because all of this is making sense in order. It's sort of this progressive thinking. Verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. I love it. I love the start of this text. This text is, oh, because we've been graced by God, now we give ourselves to him to live fully for him. Verse 1. You with me? Say amen. Amen. Yep, that's it. Great. And then verse 2. And so don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Oh, we don't have to stay the way that we are. We have actually transformational power. We're not going to be like the world, as Ben preached a few weeks ago. We're not going to be swept out to sea. We're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, oh, this is incredible news. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. We're going to know the leading of the Lord, the plan of the Lord for our lives. We actually can test and approve. We can know what God's plan is for us. We can know God's leading in our lives. So here's this idea. Oh, view of God's mercy, offer yourselves totally. Amen and amen. That's verse 1. Verse 2, and if you don't get swept out to sea by the world, but you lean into the renewing of your mind, all God's truths, you're going to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. So good. Amen and amen. And then you're going to know God's plan and God's leading for your life. Everybody tracking so far the logic? How incredible is this? And then Paul goes on, and I preached on it last week. He's going to transition to talk about spiritual gifts. And he says in verse 3, for by the grace given me, I've got some gifts. I want to say to you, I want to demonstrate how this works. I've got some gifts. I want to say to every one of you, you have to think of yourself with sober judgment. You have to think of yourself well. You have to think of yourself not more highly than you ought, not less highly than you ought. You have to have clear thinking about who God made you to be. Why? Because then we're going to be able to live out his will in service to him. If we think well about who we are, then we can think well about our gifts, and we can end up living out our service to God, a right thinking about who we are. Here's the connection. It's important how we conceive of ourselves and that we think of ourselves with like right judgment, like these are my gifts. I can do this. This is what I do. This is who God made me to do. And here's the thinking. Listen, because if we don't know the grace of God on us, verse 1, then we won't know the gifts that God has put in us, verse 2 and 3. And that matters because if we don't know the gifts that are in us, we won't know the calling that God has for us, and we don't know the calling that God has for us, we won't be able to live out the will that he's put for us to follow in. You tracking? And so now he goes into verse 4 to say, so let's talk about gifts. Look at verse 4. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. This is the word of the Lord. Hey, I'm going to, when we say this is the word of the Lord, you know, there's some traditions that say, do you know this? Thanks be to God. I love that. Can we do that for a little while, Ben? Do you? Okay, we haven't talked about this. So great, thanks. We're unified in that. So when we read a text like that, if the preacher thinks to want to say, I want to settle on, I want you to remind you this is the word. This is the word of the Lord. Isn't that a great tradition of remembering and rehearsing? Oh, God's not leaving us without a word. Ah, so good. Okay, so this is the word. So you guys, this is the word that he gets to now to say, you got to have sober judgment. You got to know your gifting. Then you're going to be able to live out God's will. You're going to be able to live out this plan he has for you. So let's talk about spiritual gifts. So today I'm going to do just an introduction. My title is, this is an introduction to spiritual gifts. And there's more things I'm not going to say about spiritual gifts than I will say about spiritual gifts. Ben's going to fix everything next week and answer all of your questions. So email him for things that I don't say. But I just want to give you an introduction so we don't miss this. For those of you that have been around forever and you're like, oh, I know spiritual gifts. I get it. I just really pray that the Lord would prompt you about some version, some part of this that's important for you to know today. And for the rest of us, and I think that includes everybody, that we really would be informed about this idea of how God works to give us his gifting to live out our lives for him and therefore live out the will that he's been talking about so far. So let's do this. There's two things that I don't want you to miss this morning, at least. And the first one is this, that we have unique gifts given to us to use for him. Now look at those words. I made those words on purpose, intentionally. We have unique gifts given to us. They're given by God. They're unique. They're gifts. They're freely given, and they're given to us to do what? to use them for living out our lives, to use them for him, because we're, right, we've devoted ourselves. We've already talked about that. I mean, we've given our whole lives as a living sacrifice, verse 1. And so this is what gifts do, that we're given unique gifts to serve him. That's the bottom line of it. Look back at the text, Romans 12. This is the beginning of the teaching of God's word. Look at verse 4 again, 4 through 6a. The 6a is meaning it's the first half of 6. Ben will take over. He's going to do 6b and following next week. For just as each of us has one body with many members, we're going to talk about this idea of the metaphor of the body in a few minutes. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Now, let's focus on verse 6 for this first point. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Boy, this is really clear and really simple. We have different gifts according to the gifts, according to the charis, according to the charisma that God has given to us. We talked about the meaning of that word last week. Gifts and grace, it's a different version of the same exact Greek word. We have different gifts according to the grace God has given us. He's freely poured out. This is what I have for you. Man, it's so, again, let me just reemphasize that the illustration I was trying to make at the very beginning of the sermon. We have such a weird relationship with our strengths and with our gifts. It's so uncomfortable for us to go, do you know, this is what I do. By the grace of God, by the power of God, I crush at this. This is what I bring to the table. This is how I serve God. This is what God has asked me to do. And by his grace and by his power, I'm not perfect, but I come with his infusion of Holy Spirit and I crush it. And the world changes. People change. I change. Like, that's what I do. We have such a weird relationship with that. If you go back, if you missed my sermon last week, go back and watch the teaching from the text. Paul was a perfect example of that, and yet he kept saying, look, but not I, but the Lord. But I'm working harder than everybody else at it. But that's not me, but it's just the grace that's within me. And he has this great relationship of humility but confidence. And we have a weird time landing somewhere in that place to say, no, this is what I do. This is what God's given me to do. And so I hope you feel a little bit of stirring inside to go, I want to know what I do. And that's why we're talking through this text, because we're going to get you toward that place of really reflecting on, this is what I do. This is what God's gifted me to do. So we each have different gifts is the thing that starts there. Now, every passage in the New Testament that talks about gifts, and you can go and read them yourselves, okay, later. If you want to write them down, here's what they are. Basically, you read 1 Corinthians 12 with the love chapter 13 in the middle. 1 Corinthians 14 talks about gifts. This Romans 12 passage talks about gifts. 1 Peter 4 has some stuff about gifts. Everywhere you read in the New Testament, the passages about spiritual gifts, two things are going to get emphasized. One, that we all have gifts to serve him. And that's about strengthening the body and impacting the world. We all have it. Every one of us has it. Go back to put the text back up there for me, Andrea, so that we can see that. Like, we each have different gifts according to the grace God has given us. All the teaching in Scripture is that we all have gifts. Every one of us. They're all different, but we all have them. Everybody has them. Everybody who said yes to Christ has a spiritual gift. And your spiritual gift is unique. Well, so I said two things. The Scripture teaches two things. About every passage in the Scripture about spiritual gifts teaches two things. One is that we all have them to strengthen the church and the world. We all have them to strengthen the church and the world. More to come on that. Secondly is, and they're super unique. Every passage is going to talk about that. They're super unique. And so each person has them with their different gifts. You see that all the way through Scripture. Paul, like 1 Corinthians 7, I don't have the text, but 1 Corinthians 7:7, Paul goes, look, I wish that you were like me. I wish you had my gifts, which is a very funny phrase to say, because don't you wish everybody was like you? The world would be so much better if everybody thought just like me. He goes, I wish you were like me, Paul says, because he's rebuking the Corinthians about something. He goes, this is 1 Corinthians 7:7. I wish that all of you were as I am, but each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift and another has that gift. It is a teaching throughout Scripture that all of the gifts are unique. A little more about that in just a minute. That's the overall concept. I said there's two things that I want you to miss today. One of them is this, that we have unique gifts given to us. to serve God, for him to use us. Gifts to be used for God and for his purposes. Okay, now, I want to go through a definition of spiritual gifts. This is also, by the way, on our discipleship curriculum on our website. You can look for the spiritual gifts button and click it and have some teaching there. You'll see this definition, and you can do some work. There's even some things there to help you begin the process, asking you questions, to begin the process of discernment about what it is that you may be gifted to do, what God has put inside you. So let's talk about a definition of spiritual gifts. Here we go. I'm going to go line by line. You can read the whole thing there, but through the presence of the Holy Spirit in you, let me read the whole thing. Through the presence of the Holy Spirit in you, you have been given a set of uniquely designed supernatural abilities that God uses through you to do his thing, to do his work, to do what he wants to be done in the body of Christ and in the world. Does that phrase make sense to you? I didn't want to put it in a paragraph form in case you'd miss something. Through the presence of the Holy Spirit in you, you've been given a set of uniquely designed supernatural abilities that God uses through you to do his thing in the world. Let's walk through that just a little bit. Through the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. You guys, everybody who has said yes to Jesus receives the gift of the Holy Spirit. Super clear in Scripture. When you are born again, when you are converted, when you come to Christ, when you get saved, when you have all the different language, right? When you say yes to Jesus, that you want him to be the Lord and the Savior of your life, and you surrender your life to him, at that moment, you have moved from spiritual death, separation from God, to spiritual life, a relationship with God. And it takes a mustard seed of faith for that to happen. It's a moment in time. Now, you may not remember when that moment happened. It may have happened kind of over a season for you, but at some point that definitely happened if you said yes to Jesus. That's being born again. We talk about that all the time here. And when you are born again, the point of me reviewing that, when you were born again, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what the scriptures teach. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell you. You are now so in a relationship with God that he actually comes and sends his spirit within us, okay? So that's the theology of it. Therefore, if you look at the definition of spiritual gifts, what we're saying is this is the Holy Spirit within you who has given you a unique set of gifts. So the second line, you've been given, through the Holy presence of the Holy Spirit in you, you have been given a set of uniquely designed abilities. That unique design we cannot miss. That idea of uniquely designed. Here's the beauty of this, and we'll talk. I'm sure we'll talk more about this as we go in the next couple of weeks. And oh, by the way, that seminar on discovering your gifting and your strengths and how God has wired you, it is up, it's live, it's on the website. It's called Discovering Your Spiritual Gifts. It's 3 Wednesday nights in November. So if you want to join that, we'll do some good work on this. But you've been given a set of uniquely designed abilities. Uniquely designed is so beautiful because I'll be as brief as I can about this. Nobody's gift print is the same as somebody else's. Nobody's. And that's so beautiful because he has known you from eternity past. He's known you all the days ordained for you since you were in your mother's womb. He knows exactly how he's designed you. He knows what your past is about. He knows what your personality is about. He knows what your experiences are going to have been. He knows what your DNA is and the things that you inherited, good and bad from your. He knows all of that, and he has given you a unique set of supernatural abilities. He's made you you, and your gift is the gift of you. And the reason why I say that is it's really hard to put a label on spiritual gifts. When you read the passages about spiritual gifts in the scriptures, you'll see labels. If anyone, Bren's going to preach next week, look, if you got a gift of this, if you got a gift of that, if you're a gift of teaching, if you got a gift, like he puts labels on it for simplification around language, right, to try to communicate. But it's not an exhaustive list, that's clear, because every time Paul talks about spiritual gifts, he uses kind of different ones. And sometimes he says a couple of them more than once, but it's clearly not exhaustive, and we know that there's no one person who's like, you have the gift of encouragement, and that's it. Your gift of encouragement may look really different from your gift of encouragement. Why? Because your gift of encouragement may be shaped a little bit by the gift of teaching, and your gift of encouragement is shaped a little bit by the gift of compassion, Those are two totally different people, but both of them are really encouragement. Think of it like a color palette. If encouragement is red, right? But teaching is blue. What's red and blue equal? Oh, I didn't even know that. Okay, purple. You're an encourager. You got the label in encouragement, but you're kind of purpley. But if you have the gift of encouragement, and that's red, and you have the gift of compassion, which is yellow, thank you. What color is that? So now you got purple and orange, but it's encouragement. Do you see the difference? And you've experienced people who have both of those gifts. The person with a gift of encouragement and compassion blows wind in your sails and holds your hand. And you feel strengthened by their mere presence. The person who has the gift of encouragement with teaching is like, okay, it's time to get up and move on. Here's what we do. And you feel encouraged and strengthened to take the next steps maybe in your spiritual journey. Two different outcomes, two different people in your life who both have the gift of encouragement. Do you hear my point? Everybody's gifts are uniquely designed. Now, if you've got red and purple and a little brown and a little magenta and a little this and a little that, it is this cool color wheel that cannot be duplicated by anybody else but you. It's your gift that God gave you. All right. Through the presence of the Holy Spirit, you've been given a set of uniquely designed supernatural abilities. And they're supernatural abilities, you guys. They're the things that God has given you. Let me be clear about this. Those abilities may or may not take into account who you were before you became a Christian. Take into account who your parents are and who everybody in your family, how all your family acts and doesn't act. You may just be like I'm a lot like my mom, right? And like, is that a gift that God gave me and it's the Holy Spirit in me, or is it, did I just become like my mom? And the answer is yes. And can I tell you how many ways I'm not like my mom, right? So these gifts that are uniquely designed may or may not take into account your past, your experiences, your wounds, your sins that you like think ways that you've messed yourself up, your personality, your DNA, like it may or may not take those things into account. And so people are like, I was a great teacher before I became a Christian, and now I'm a great teacher, so that's probably not a spiritual gift. I just was a great teacher. And the answer is, yeah. Is God using it to build the church and to build the kingdom? Is he impacting the church and the world through your gifts of teaching? If so, then it's a gift. If not, it's a skill you learned, and it's awesome, but it may not be the main thing that you're bringing to the kingdom of God. You're like, oh my gosh, well, how would we ever figure this out? I know. That's why we're preaching on this, to say we need to begin the process of sober judgment, as verse 3 says, about who we are and what we have. And that is the process of reflecting on it. Okay, I'm just going to get through this real quick. So we're in the definition of spiritual gifts. Through the presence of the Holy Spirit in you, you've been given a set of uniquely designed supernatural abilities, and this last three phrases, that God uses through you. God's using them through you to do what he wants to do in the world. God's using them through you to do what God wants to do in the world. This is God empowering, listen, church, this is God empowering his church, empowering the people of God to accomplish the will of God in the world. That's why he's talking about will up to this point. If you're going to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, what's the point of that? To accomplish what God wants to accomplish in the world. And so we are people that say, here, use me, God. And he's like, great, I gave you gifts and I want to use those. This is why it's so important to have right thinking about how he made us so that we can use that and maximize it. I think you guys are tracking. I've said that a million times over the last 2 weeks. But that's our longing, is to be like, great, God, you use me to be your hands and your feet. That's a great phrase. That we would be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. That his church would be body of Christ, think about the language, the embodiment of Christ, the presence of Christ in the world, to one another within the church and to the world. Teresa of Avila said this, it was amazing, I Googled this quote and found it. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ looks with compassion to this world. Yours are the feet with which Christ walks to do good. You are the hands with which Christ blesses the world. Remember, Jesus left and sent his Holy Spirit to indwell us so that we could do greater works than he. That's what we're taught in John. Because rather than one human walking around Jesus, he sent the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, to be in us, to multiply the presence of Jesus everywhere every one of us goes. That's why it's so crucially important. All right, here's the implications to that. You bringing you to the table is a necessary investment of unique assets that God has plans to use for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you are being you. When you bring you to the table and you show up aware of your gifting, even unaware of your gifting, but surrendered in sacrifice, it's a necessary investment for what God wants to do because he has no feet and no hands except for his church. That's us. I said a little phrase there. You might have thought, oh, that was interesting. Even if I don't have awareness of my gifts. Yeah, you guys, the point of this sermon is not going to be, you better figure out your gifts because then, or God's not using you. The point of this sermon is actually, this is the reality. God's being using you. The more you understand it, the more strategic you can be in applying those. And you are, what you're actually going to find out as you start to reflect on this, if you haven't done this work before, is you're going to be like, oh, I do see the patterns. I do see the way God uses me. Oh, I recognize God's already been doing that. I didn't even have names for it. And you may never find names for it. So I put you in parenthesis or in quotation marks because your gift is you. People are always like, my gift's teaching and a little encouragement, a little orange and a little this and a little red. And that may be hard for you to even get your head around. You can just begin to learn with this deep confidence, spirit-filled confidence. This is me. This is what I bring to the table. And the more you understand that, the more strategic you will be to be God's person in that room. So you bringing you to the table is a necessary investment. Sober judgment from verse 3, or right thinking, compels us to live out our gifts. Again, from last week, we can't say, oh, I don't have anything to offer. I can't bring anything to the table. When we think of ourselves with sober judgment, it's about knowing God's will for us to serve him. And so the right thinking is, I've been graced by God, thank you, in view of God's mercy. I've been gifted. I have a callings on my life through this gifting, these longings that I have. I see how God uses me, and I can't deny, I can't ignore it, I can't abdicate it, I can't say, no, what am I going to do? Because if we say that, then we're not going to live out his will, and we're not going to have the impact that we long to have, that he longs to have for us. So don't miss this. We all have unique gifts given to us to be used by him, and we're going to be in the journey of discovering that more and more. Well, I'm out of time, but I don't want you to miss the second one I don't want you to miss because it's right in the text. The second thing we don't want to miss is we are like all the different parts of the body. That metaphor is everywhere. We are all like all different parts of the body. If you look at the text again and see it, that's what verse 4 and 5 is. For just as each of us has one body with many members, he's like, let's use the metaphor of the body. These members don't all have the same function. He's like, drill down into that metaphor to understand this. The body does not have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, we form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. You see some important teaching in that, right? One is we don't all have the same function, so let's not worry about that. Why isn't this person not living like this? Why do I have strengths that that person doesn't have? Why do I feel terrible when I look at somebody else's gifts and go, I wish I had that? Because we don't all have the same function. And the second thing this thing teaches clearly is, but we belong to each other. And so that's the call to unity, to appreciation, and listen, to meaningful relationships, because we need each other. More teaching to come on that, I'm sure, in the coming weeks. But the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. We all need each other, and that's an implication of this. So let me leave you with this theological cornerstone, you guys. Wherever your story leads you, you are there. Wherever your story has led you, you are there. It's your story. It's where God has you, and it is now plan A for your life. Your job, your relationships, the rooms that you walk into, the people that you rub shoulders with, that's where your story has led you, and guess what? You are there. And here's the good news. Where you are then, you bring the love and the presence of Jesus to the world. Every room in the church, every relationship with believers, every room you walk into outside of the church, all of your days, all of your hours is you being you and therefore bringing the presence, the hands and the feet of Jesus to the world. So why should we lean into this? For his glory. Or what's verse 1 and 2 all about if we're not going to lean into this and say, in view of your mercy, God, I will offer myself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you. I just want to serve you more. I want to be your person. What else is my existence for? And you guys, that's what the table is for. Band, you guys come out when you're going to lead us in the time as we come to the table of the Lord. But this is about every single time we do communion, it's about saying, I surrender everything to you. And I want you to fill me. And I'll be your person for your glory. I want to use my gifts so that people would know you better. I want to use my gifts so your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. This is what I'm longing for. And so it's fitting that this is Communion Sunday after this introduction to spiritual gifts that we would come and we would say, Lord, again, I want to be yours. And I want you to fill me with your presence. We're going to do something a little bit different, and actually, listen, church, we're going to do it communion a little bit differently for the next several months, probably the course of this year at least, is that we're going to take the elements together as a symbol of our unity, that all the members of the body, while unique, belong to one another. And so rather than coming and taking the elements, which we often do, and go back to your chair and you take them somewhere during worship in a private moment with the Lord, which is beautiful and right, we're going to have you come and get the elements, take them back to your chair, and then I will lead us in taking them together as a statement that we are one body. Won't that be sweet? Everybody get that? So if you forget, you take the elements out of habit, don't feel bad, but hold the elements as you go back to your chair, and then I'll come back during worship and lead us in that time. For the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, this is the last night with his disciples before his crucifixion, he took bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, this is my blood shed for you. It's a new covenant, a new agreement. This talks about my salvation that I'm offering. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat the bread and you drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. What does that mean, you proclaim? Listen, it says that we're saying this in this celebration together. Ah, the Lord died for me. We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This side of heaven, we say, in view of God's mercy, I'm offering myself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to the Lord. So use me, Lord, for your glory. That's what my life's about. As we worship now, I'm going to invite you to come, take the elements, bring them back to your chair. There's baskets and cups here in the front and in the back. Let's stand together. Go ahead and begin to come get the elements now.